Amen. Well, it is good to be together. I need to switch microphones, otherwise it's going to be just different. So,
it is good to be together. There we go. I'm a little more comfortable now. Last Sunday, if you were with us or if you watched online, I started a new series that I'm calling Dreams and Visions, and we're going to continue in that series today, and we're going to actually continue in the book of Isaiah. And so last Sunday we were in Isaiah chapters 2 and 8 and 9. Today we're going to be at the end of Isaiah chapter 10 and the beginning of Isaiah chapter 11. I'm actually going to begin in the Word, and so if you've got a Bible or a phone, whatever you use, it'll also be on the screen for you. Isaiah chapter 10. And it may seem a little strange. I'm going to begin at the end of chapter 10, but remember, originally there were no chapters and numbers and things, so we're not jumping in at the end. We're just right in the middle. Amen. All right, so Isaiah chapter 10, beginning in verse 33, it says, "See, the Lord Almighty, will lop off the boughs with great power. The lofty trees will be felled. The tall ones will be brought low. He will cut down the forest thickets with an axe. Lebanon will fall before the mighty one." I'm gonna stop us right there. That I'm kind of jumping in, I understand. And you're like, what in the world does that mean? And what is going on? Well, if you were with us last Sunday, or if you go back and read through Isaiah, you'll see that there's this tension in Isaiah. There's this tension between what God is speaking in and through Isaiah and what they're actually seeing with their eyes. And in Isaiah at this time, things were not going that well. Like the enemy army, the Assyrians, were really pressing against them. And so Isaiah is hearing these words from the Lord, and then he's seeing with his eyes something totally different. And I think maybe that might even really speak to us today. Sometimes we see in God's word what he's promised, and then we look with our eyes and we see something a little bit different. So this is the tension that he is experiencing between what he sees and what God is saying, between what he sees and what God's vision is. And all around him are these reminders that things are not quite right. And yet God keeps giving him this word to share. And if you remember last week, at one point Isaiah says, it's like this pressing on my back. I have to share. I'm compelled to speak these words. Some of you might be familiar with Isaiah and Isaiah's calling. It's found in Isaiah chapter 6, and it's a great thing for us to go back and read. When you have time, go back and read this calling of Isaiah. But Isaiah was one who was worshiping the Lord, and at one point he acknowledges and he realizes and he says, "Whoa, I am a man of unclean lips." And in this moment of recognizing who he is, a seraphim reaches and grabs a hot coal from the altar and comes and presses it to his mouth and purifies him in that moment. So Isaiah, in his calling, he recognizes who he is. He recognizes his sinfulness, and yet God comes and offers a way out of that wretchedness, a way out of that sinfulness, and it's through the touch of the Lord, the purification that can only come from the Lord. And in that moment, when the hot coal was pressed against his lips, his guilt was taken away, his sin was atoned for. Who could do such a thing? Only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can do that. And it took an encounter with the Lord for it to happen. And so I want us to hear this morning that we need to have encounters with the Lord. Encounters with the Lord. So it's not really enough just to come to church every once in a while and to say hello and to sing some songs and listen to a pastor preach. We need to have an encounter with the living God, because he's the one who can transform our lives. He's the one that can purify us from all unrighteousness, from all of our sins. Amen. So all of us together, we have this call to repent of our sin, And repentance is, it's nothing bad, it's just recognizing our condition. It's like Isaiah in that moment when he recognized, when he saw God, he recognized, man, I am undone. I am an unclean person. So repentance is recognizing our true condition. Being honest about who we are on the inside and who we are when other people aren't watching. And then turning away from that way of living and receiving what the Lord has for us. So God alone is the one who can cleanse us from sin. He alone is the one who can make the way for us. And after Isaiah was purified, in Isaiah chapter 6, he was then sent out. And some of you might know that story. Some of you might know his commissioning. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said," and this is Isaiah, Isaiah says, "'Here I am, send me.'" And I share that today because as I was reading through this and as I was working on the message, I was just really impressed in my spirit that God is still sending people today. So what I'm saying is I actually believe that there might be, we're a small group today, but there might be someone here that God is calling into personal service for him. Someone that God might be calling into ministry to go and to preach the good news. Maybe it's someone that's watching online. I don't know. I just felt impressed in my spirit that we need to remind one another that God is still calling people to go and to serve in his name. God is still calling people to preach his word, to go as missionaries around the world. And I know for sure God is still calling each one of us here to share the love of Christ everywhere that we go. God is still calling. Do we have ears to hear his voice today? And what is it that God is speaking into your life? What dreams and visions has he given to you? This is all extra here, but sometimes I think that the things that God speaks into our hearts and into our minds even, sometimes those just seem crazy. They seem beyond belief. It's almost as if the vision that God gives us is something that we can't accomplish on our own. Does that make sense this morning? That what God would place on our heart is oftentimes too big for us to do. That's why we need his presence. We need to trust him with it. Certainly Isaiah found himself in that place time and time again as the Lord spoke these words to him and as he looked around and no one was really listening. And yet he felt compelled to continue to share the word of the Lord. So here in Isaiah 10, this tension is continuing, the tension between what was reality and what God was saying. But let's remember today that God is trustworthy. If God says something can happen, it can. If God says something will happen, it will happen. God is trustworthy. So the most important thing that you can hear today is what God might be saying to you, because he is trustworthy. So God says through Isaiah, "Do not be afraid of the Assyrians." God is telling Isaiah, "I know who the enemy is. I know what they've done. I've heard all about them. But instead of listening to the enemy, Isaiah, I want you to listen to me." And again, we're like, in our world today, like, I feel like God would say to us, "I know what's happening. I know what's being said. I know what is in the world today. But instead of listening to everything else, how about you listen to me?" And God tells Isaiah, soon and very soon, I didn't mean to say it that way. Now I'm going to think of a song, right? Okay. So God says to Isaiah, "Very soon, my anger will turn toward them." See, as you read through Isaiah, the anger so often was turned actually against God's people. But he tells Isaiah at this point, "Very soon, my anger will turn towards your enemy." Sometimes I think we forget that God is really with us. right? We live our lives as if we're on our own and we're just struggling to make it, and we forget that God is with us. And then other times we forget that God cannot tolerate sin and evil. God can't stand it. It's completely opposite of his nature. So in Isaiah 10, verse 33, the Lord says, I will lop off the boughs with great power. The enemy will be chopped down. He will cut them low. He's letting Isaiah know that he sees everything that's happening and he has an answer for it. Right? Everything that's been coming against you, I see it, I know it, but I have an answer. I have a way forward. And this is the word that he gave to Isaiah. And he compelled him to speak it out, to share it, even though it didn't reflect their current reality. That's why you and I, we can't just live in the moment. Right? What if Isaiah just chose to live in the moment and not believe God's promise in that moment? And what if Isaiah just chose to live each day in the moment, forgetting God's faithfulness in the past? We can't just live in the moment. We have to have a sense of perspective. We must remember the past and history, especially the history of God, God's story, the story, our story, the story of his people. But we must also receive the dreams and visions that God sends to us. I don't think we're that much different than Isaiah. I know he's had some amazing encounters with God, but I think God is still looking for those who would listen to his voice. God is still seeking after and calling those who would go and speak his truth to the world, even if the world doesn't want to hear it. So we must be willing to receive what the Lord is saying to us today. Today is Father's Day. And I was reminded this week about my very first Father's Day. And here we celebrate with Keenan on his first Father's Day. But I was reminded by Facebook. And Facebook is, I don't even know what to say. It's kind of a necessary evil, so to speak. But sometimes, every once in a while, something positive comes out of Facebook. And for me, it's being reminded of things. And so if you're on Facebook, you might know every once in a while that it will remind you of things you've said in the past. That's what happened to me yesterday. I was reminded of something that I wrote 8 years ago, and I'm going to share it with you because I won't remember everything I said 8 years ago. I can barely remember what I said yesterday. But 8 years ago, I wrote this on Facebook. I said, last night, my wife had a surgery because of an infection from her C-section. She is recovering, but will be in the hospital for several days and will need several more months to heal. Our daughter, Aubrey, remains stable. However, she has increased bleeding and swelling in her brain. Pray for both of my girls. Facebook reminded me of this, and this is our history for my family. This is part of our story, and in many ways, this represents one of the most challenging seasons in our life. This post came 2 weeks after our daughter passed away, Aubrey's twin sister. And as I wrote those words, and as I shared with you already, it was written the morning after my wife finally figured out what was wrong with her after experiencing all of this pain. The doctors finally took her into the emergency room and checked her into a room and immediately had a surgery right there in the hospital room because of the severe infection that was damaging her and causing such pain. So I wrote that post the morning after the most challenging night of my life. As I sat in a hospital room next to my wife, who had just been opened up again for surgery, severe infection, after my daughter had already passed away, and as Aubrey, my only other daughter at the time, was now facing a huge battle with increased bleeding in her brain and swelling, And because of her size, the doctors had no answer. But I want to share all of that today because there's a couple of important things that we need to be reminded of. One is, not only is God still calling people, the second thing is, God is still able to perform miracles. I wrote this post not knowing what the future would hold. And I wrote this post as a broken father and husband, not knowing if the next day I would even have any of my family members left. But God still answers prayer, and God still performs miracles, and Aubrey would need three more miracles after this point to be here today. And God was faithful in the midst of her fragile life. But I share that this morning as a reminder because sometimes, if we're not careful, the details will begin to fade. And maybe it's because I'm getting old and I have a lot of gray hair, but I don't always remember everything. So it's good for me to go back and read what I wrote down in the moment. And today, God has given us His Word. And to me, I don't think we're grabbing a hold of how significant this is, but God has given us His Word. He compelled man after man to write down this Word so that we would have the source to go back to be reminded of His faithfulness. We can go to His Word, we can see His faithfulness in times of the past, but we can also read this written Word to see what God has promised in the future. So we don't have to live with uncertainty when God has already given us what we need. So we can't just live in the moment. We must look back, but we must also look ahead. And if we're faithful to do both, I believe it helps reveal where we are today. Do you believe that? Right? If we'll be faithful in knowing His Word and looking back at His faithfulness and looking ahead at what He's told us will happen, it helps us figure out where we are today. That might need to happen in your life today as you think about the life you've lived and what lies ahead and figuring out what God might want to do in this moment of your life. The Lord knows what is happening in our world right now. He knows what we're facing, just as He knew exactly what Isaiah was facing. The Lord was not surprised by the Assyrians. It didn't take Him by surprise in that moment, and He's not surprised today. So in this moment, He gives Isaiah this word to preach, telling him that He will come and cut down that mighty tree, the enemy. But the Lord doesn't just leave His people with destruction. And even if 8 years ago, my story and the story of my family had gone differently, and my wife and Aubrey had both passed away, God doesn't leave us in destruction. He doesn't leave us alone and empty. He doesn't leave us lost without a way forward. And He doesn't leave His people here in Isaiah without a way forward. That's why we must continue to read this morning in Isaiah chapter 11. This is not the end of a story and the beginning of another story. This is a continuation. So in Isaiah chapter 11, in the very first verse, the next verse from this statement that Lebanon will fall before the Mighty One, the Lord says this: a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in the face of the enemy, in the face of destruction, God says a shoot will burst forth. It will come up out of that stump. It's almost as if God wanted to say in that moment, oh, you thought it was over? You thought it was finished? You thought it ended with death and destruction? No, it doesn't end with death and destruction. There is hope. And with God, there is a new thing, new possibilities. This powerful promise was for God's people. There's a great contrast here between the lofty, tall, proud trees of Assyria and the lowly stump of Jesse, but it's a great reminder to us that God chooses to work through the humble, the meek, the hungry. Those are the people that God chooses to work through. Those who say, I am nothing, Lord, without you. So God works in these mysterious and unexpected ways. A shoot will burst forth and a branch will surge from his roots. That stump you thought was finished, dead and gone, it's going to show signs of life once again. It will bear fruit. It will not die out. It will not be cut off. And let me say today, what God produces will not die. What comes from him will bear fruit. Fruit is a sign of life. Jesus, the one that the scripture is pointing to, Jesus would come and in John chapter 15 in verse 5, he would say to his disciples and to us today, Jesus would say, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. We must remain connected to him. Despite all that is currently happening in the world, and despite anything that's happening in your personal life or in your family, despite everything that's happened in the past, remain in him. For apart from him, we can do nothing. So this fruit, this new life, it doesn't happen without Jesus. But thanks be to God, Jesus came for us. This vision that God gave to Isaiah, this vision that Isaiah had to proclaim, it came true. Amen. But there were 700 years of waiting. So again, when God speaks dreams and visions into your life, don't discount them because you haven't seen it happen yet. Don't discount it because there's no fruit yet. If it's from the Lord, it can be trusted. So be encouraged today. Remain connected. Remain faithful to the Lord. And the one who is to come, the one that was proclaimed here, and the one that we've received, Jesus, he comes to us. And Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord rests on him. A spirit of discerning wisdom, counsel, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. It's the same Spirit of God that is needed today. We need the Lord to lead us, to help us to make the right choices. We need the Lord to lead us as he brings justice. There's a promise here. If we remain in him and he in us, if we're found in Christ, then we will also have the Spirit's counsel. If you remember last Sunday, as we looked at Isaiah 9, we hear these words, Jesus will be our wonderful counselor. Jesus is the one who comes as judge, but he doesn't judge by what he sees and what he hears. Instead, he judges with righteousness. He judges the needy with justice and equity. And when he speaks, the word strikes the earth. There is power in God's word. It said, with his breath, the enemy is annihilated and destroyed. Again, do you think perhaps it might be important for us to be in his word? If his word has that kind of power, do you think it might be important for us to be in his word? to receive his word, to pray his word, to proclaim his word, to live out his word. His word brings life, justice, and mercy to those in need. And here we see this one that is to come, that has already come, Jesus. He would live connected to his Father. He would live in intimacy with the Father. And I know it's Father's Day, and I know some of you might not have had a good experience with an earthly father, but we have an opportunity to live in intimacy with our Heavenly Father. Jesus gives us that example. He models it for us. He shows us the way. Jesus delights in living by the Spirit. All of this was totally different than what God's people had experienced in the past. And again, I wonder what Isaiah is thinking as he's hearing the Lord speaking these words to him. Jesus would come and he would rule and reign very differently than what they had seen, very differently than the earthly kings that had preceded. His joy is not found in the opinion of others. His righteousness alone enables him to do the right thing in all circumstances. And his faithfulness ensures his consistent dependability. If we are to live for Christ, we too must live totally different than we did before. Friends, we've done a disservice to the world when we live like the world. If God hasn't truly transformed your life, then this is the moment when you need to surrender all and allow him to transform you. Yes, we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. If people don't know you're a follower of Christ, then I'm gonna have to say, how are you living? Who are you serving? This is kind of a side note. I think even if you're wearing a face mask out in public, people should notice there is something different about you. If we are to live for Christ, we're not going to live like we did in the past, that old sinful way of life. We're not going to rely on ourselves like we did in the past. Instead, we're going to abide. We're going to remain in him. We're going to remain connected to the source. And that new way of living can start today. But to get to that new way of life, the old way of life must first be cut down. And I don't know about you and your journey, but in the past, when I was in the midst of struggling in my flesh with sin, day after day, I tried to cut that off. And I was unable to do it. Jesus is the one. Just as Isaiah discovered in Isaiah chapter 6, Jesus is the one who can touch us and purify us through his righteousness alone. So we must allow his life-giving presence to fill us and transform us. Friends, God is doing a new thing today. And God is able to work through every situation and circumstance. God has used this crazy virus and everything that comes along with it to get the attention of his faithful ones. I believe that today. If we will be faithful to listen to his voice, to be in his word, to faithfully follow all that he has for us, to give him our yes, I believe God is looking for those faithful ones who will serve him, who will go out, and despite everything that's happening, will go out in love in the name of Christ. So what is it that he's speaking into your life? What dreams and visions is he giving to you? I know he wants us to have heavenly perspective, but to get there, we got to go to him. So no matter who you are and no matter where you've been, whether you've been in the valley or not, I want you to know that God has not forgotten you. God didn't forget my family. God's not going to forget you, no matter what your burden is, no matter what the cry of your heart is, no matter what that pain is. But we must receive all that he has for us. We must receive that rest. God promises rest and stability, the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord would come to rest on Jesus, but it's not just for Jesus, it's for his church. Amen. So decide today, will you trust him? Will you go to him today? I'm going to close with a quote and we'll pray and then we've got a closing song together. Last week I shared just a bumper sticker statement. If you remembered, it was no God, N-O. No God, no peace. No God, K-N-O-W, no peace. Well, today I've got a different quote, and this is a quote from a Puritan preacher from the 1600s, and it's from a book called The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. Thomas Brooks, this is the full statement. He said, "Christ is a most precious commodity. He is better than rubies or the most costly pearls. And you must part with your old gold, with your shining gold, your old sins, your most shining sins, or you must perish forever. Christ is to be sought and bought with any pains at any price. We cannot buy this gold too dear. He is a jewel more worth than 1,000 worlds, as all know who have him. Get him and get all. Miss him and miss all." Let us pray together. And as we pray, the worship team will come and we'll close in song. But as we pray, friends, this is one of those moments that we've been given as a gift to make sure that we are fully surrendered to him, that we're open to whatever he would have for us. So if you join me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this promise that you gave to Isaiah, and we thank you for Isaiah's faithfulness. Lord, I do believe today that you are continuing to speak life and dreams and vision into your church. I pray today, Lord, that we would be open to hearing whatever it is you would say to us. Lord, if you're calling somebody into something new right now, I pray, Lord, that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, they would just give you a humble yes. Father, today, if there's someone who is struggling with the burden or living in sin today, I pray that they would just surrender that to you, Lord. When we repent, Lord, you are faithful. Your faithfulness endures. It never ends. We're thankful for your presence and your righteousness today. Lord, you're worthy of all of our praise, Father. Pray that you would bless and encourage each one this week as they go their way. Watch over and protect us, Lord. But compel us by the presence of your Holy Spirit to be faithful, to follow whatever it is you would place in our heart. Father, may we not be filled with fear, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. We love you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand together as we close with this hymn.
God's race, the ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace. His name. May you go in peace this week. You are loved. Remember, offering is out in the foyer if you brought one, and there's a gift for all sons and fathers. God bless you.